is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5.
Hey, I want to bring this up because it's I realize now Chris Paul's desire to get as much as he possibly could
right.
on the open market on his what will likely be his last contract, I would imagine. So he used his leverage with the Rockets when they said, okay, we're going to get a trade done. Well, I'm not going to approve it unless I get a 4-year supermax deal. And the Rockets said, okay, and Les Alexander at that time signed off on it. Daryl Morey's like, yeah, well, Les, we got to do it. I said, okay. And then they had to sell it to Tillman Fertitta later, which the Rockets obviously did. The problem with this, and so Chris used his leverage to get a supermax deal for 4 additional years, right? A 4-year supermax deal. Good for Chris Paul. He gets all the money he could possibly stand.
In Oklahoma City.
Well, this is the problem. That contract that he got, now no one can trade him. I celebrated. I think Westbrook is a potential grease fire in Houston, and I still like this move for the Rockets. Even giving away 2 firsts, I like getting away from Chris Paul's contract because I believe that you can move. Russell Westbrook still has potential to be moved. He still has value unless he falls apart physically. Chris Paul, Oklahoma City's finding out now. They probably thought, you know what, we'll take him on and we can flip him. This isn't going to be that hard. We'll find somebody. And now Oklahoma City can't trade Chris Paul. They realize, oh my God, it was a 1-2-3 no back situation. And now we've got no give backs. And now we're stuck with Chris Paul. Chris Paul's contract is why he's going to be anchored into Oklahoma City. They're not going to be able to move him. And I'll tell you this, 2 years, $40 million next year, I don't think they can move. Well, it's actually going to be more than that. It's going to be at about like $84 million left next year, $83 million. I don't think they can move that next year.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, that's a lot of money to move unless Chris Paul plays really, really well and somehow stays healthy, which I think is going to be really, really tough. Chris Paul's contract is going to work against him. Had he taken a 3-year deal, there would have been more freedom. A 4-year deal absolutely buries him. So this contract that he wanted actually is doing him a disservice because now he can't get out of Oklahoma City.
Yep.
He can't.
Adrian Wojnarowski said, OKC has been working with Paul and his representatives on finding a trade, but nothing is materializing so deep into summer free agency, sources said. Both sides believe there are benefits to Paul, 34, playing out the year with the Thunder. Bobby Marks says, here's why. 40% of players under contract cannot be traded. There are no teams with significant cap space. Atlanta has the most at $7 million. Biggest trade exception is Golden State, 17.2, who is hard capped. Next is Dallas at 11.8. They're not giving up that trade exception for Chris Paul. Nobody's doing that. Nobody's doing that. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's not the player. He's not a $40 million a year player. Basically, he's making too much money. Now, in Oklahoma City is going to find, well, they got off $47 million. So they did save $47 million. But if they thought that they're going to flip this, it ain't happening. Second part of Chris Paul today, did you see this story? There is an anonymous NBA player who's taking shots at Chris Paul and his leadership. He is the player's rep, right? Chris Paul is the... he's been in since 2013. He has been in the office as president of the National Basketball Players Association. There's an anonymous player who's criticizing him, saying that he's doing is looking out for the banana boat guys. They advocate for the interests of max players and the supermax players. Basically, the CBA has helped the whole banana boat crew from back in the day. It's taken from the mid-level. I think mid-tier players aren't getting that mid-level money anymore.
Oh, no, 100%. This was never about... this is about rich, richer, poor, poor. This was never about mid-level. This is not about the middle class. It never has been. It's been about supermax.
The middle class got paid in 2016. The middle, when the cap went up, you look at the middle class players who got their money. I'll just name like three guys off the team, my favorite team. James Johnson got paid $15 million a year. Deion Waiters coming off a 1-year tryout deal with Miami got 11, like 12 a year. Kelly Olynyk got 12 plus a year. They were, if just look around the league in 2016, bad contracts were handed out to middle-class players.
That was the one-off because they had the big bump. Like, that's not, like a mid-level. Okay, so a mid-level right now is what, about 7.5? And a supermax is up around 40? Look at the difference in that. That's almost a 6 times. Well, you're talking about a 5.5 times difference between a supermax and a mid-level.
The mid-level right now is the max, which allows teams over the salary cap to sign players for more than a minimum salary, estimated at $9.25 million.
Oh, is it
million.
That high now?
Yeah.
Okay.
So this thing about – so where was the mid-level back in 2012 before he took over?
I don't know the
number. And what? And relatively speaking to the max dollars – let's face it, everybody has made a lot more money. The stars drive the game. The stars have always driven the game. Back in the 90s, Michael Jordan was making $33 million when the guys were making the other guys on the team were making $1 million and playing roles, role players. Guys who were on the court were making $1 million. So, I mean, the disparity is never going to change. Stars drive the league. They drive the league. And Chris Paul was a star. Now he's a star with a lot of luster off, but he's still a star. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. Anything that you want to talk about. I think it's take pot shots at Chris Paul season,
yeah,
isn't it?
It's about that time.
Yeah.
He's been discarded to a middle of America team who has no shot of winning. It's time to take your shots at Chris Paul.
And he's not really super well liked.
Well, he's not well liked. I think you brought it up first. He is going to be hated. He was going to be hated here if he played out this contract.
Oh, yeah. It wouldn't have even been close. Like, he would have been the guy preventing you from doing this, preventing you from doing that. So,
well, now you just took on Russell Westbrook's going to be that guy. If he doesn't perform with another $47 million on top
already,
of what you would have had to pay
him.
They
hated Russell Westbrook. There's already history of disliking Russell Westbrook. It's not going to be hard for people to bounce on the other side, especially if he starts feuding with James. Everyone's going to get on board with James's side, not Russell Westbrook.
You ain't even got to wait for a potential feud. Just wait for the postseason when he's, or even midway through the year when he's clanging mid-range jumpers. When you know, don't worry about it.
That's what makes you upset is when guys don't perform in the playoffs. That's how they really catch all the heat.
The Rockets will be a fun team the regular season, but all the people who've decided that their venom for Russell Westbrook was, well, he's our guy now, so I can get over it. Just wait for the postseason.
Yeah, no, you're going to have that vitriol once again. No, I don't think there's any question. I'll tell you what you're going to have some love for. This is something Jeff Aronoff would do at Absolute Marble and Granite, right here, this countertop. Mm-hmm. You know, he does really...
He has a nicer one than this.
Well, yeah, no. Well, he can do it as you know. Yeah. I mean, some people don't want to spend all that. You know, not everybody's got your money. You know what I'm saying? So some people...
Yeah. I've got the stay-at-home mom. You've got Wendy balling.
You just think this is trash. And this is a very nice countertop here.
This is fine. Jeff does stone. He does natural stone.
Yeah, he does stone. But he does this kind of countertop, too. He does everything. You know what? He can find you. He'll find you. You know, not everybody can spend like Lance does. About, you know, $17,000 to put a floor in.
Have like three different companies coming into a floor.
Yeah. Everybody does it that way.
I got to spend extra
money. A lot of
people
just get one company, like Absolute Marble and Granite.
I like to spread it out. Have a company do it, then have another company do work over their work.
Right.
And then another company fix the other company's work.
Right.
I like to do it like that.
Well,
man of the people. Well, giving more
Jeff
money
Aronoff
to more people.
Likes you're one of the riches is what stop you are. Shopping.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you get with Absolute Marble and Granite. Not one stop shopping. That's all. Jeff will come to your home. He'll give you that quote absolutely free. Now, it's got to be a big project. This is not, you know, hey, I want you to fix these steps over here. That's not what he does. What he does is he puts in entire patios. He puts in entire kitchens. He puts in all the vanities in hotels. Okay? This dude does it. He just did a job, big job for the baseball team over at U of H. He just does it. It's all he does all day long. So if you're looking for somebody that will come to your home, give you that estimate, and give you 20% off because you're a 97.5 listener, Absolute Marble and Granite. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822.
You You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. 819 ESPN 97.5. We're watching the British Open. Graham McDowell had a hard time finding his ball. He had everybody looking over there. Couldn't find it. Gosh, I hate that for him. There's another Irishman trying to find his way in the world. Dell, Shane Lowry's on top of the leaderboard.
I don't know who that is.
Sergio's next at 3-under. Webb Simpson's 3-under.
I feel like the...
Alex Noren.
The British
Dylan
Open...
Dylan Fratelli.
Provides the more anonymous leaderboards, at least on the first day.
Well, it's a lot of Euros that are in it.
Yeah.
So you don't know them.
We don't care about at all.
Well, Shane Lowry's been on the tour for a long time.
I'm
so
sure he has,
catch up.
But we don't care.
Catch up.
No one in America,
big dude.
No one in America cares about Shane Lowry.
Kind of looks like Tyler White with a big, heavy beard.
So is he as bad as his job at Tyler White is as hit?
No,
his?
He's much better. He's 4-under.
Okay.
Yeah.
Tyler White's hit a home run before. Is Shane Lowry generally good in majors?
Shane Lowry is a good player. He's a good player. I'm hoping he wins because I picked him on my fantasy team.
Oh, did you buy him or did you just pick him?
I just picked him. I didn't buy him. I didn't buy anybody this year in the Calcutta. My buddy did, though. He's got the field. And David Dubois shot 14 over today. Congratulations.
That guy still plays golf?
Yeah, every once in a while, but he shouldn't.
Okay.
He really shouldn't. Astro Curtis wants to get in here. What do you say, Astro Curtis?
John Bra, Lance Bra, Bell Bra, what's up, Bra?
What up, Bra? What's up? Were you playing any poker lately?
I am, and it looks like there might be some places opening up again.
Yeah, it looks like Prime's going to reopen in the next couple of weeks, which will be nice.
We'll see.
Charges
I'm happy
dropped.
About that.
Were you there when they got raided?
Family. I was not. You know? I was actually going up there to register for the tournament, and it turned out to not be a good time to go in there.
No, it wasn't a good time. So yeah.
But I'm hoping to get that going again. As you can hear, my daughter in the back. John, your money was very vital in our family and put food on the table. So I'm hoping we can get Prime open again.
Mm-hmm.
You
yeah.
fed families.
What?
He said you fed families with your money.
Yeah, my money. Curtis won my money one time. Got my bounty one time in his life.
Oh, he did.
Yeah, one time in his life. Yeah.
I wanted to hear, what are you guys doing for the WNBA All-Star Game next Saturday? Where are you guys watching it at?
Oh, I got a boy. I got
a. It'd be awesome.
I'm at a huge party. Big WNBA All-Star Game party.
Is Dell hosting his usual WNBA watch party? Because I'd like to attend that.
No, but if you're willing, you should be on the lookout for my WNBA draft party. We'll go pick by pick. Give analysis, and then we'll tell you the best fits as well for the teams. Who should be on the
I like it.
Yeah, so
wait
which
a minute,
Connecticut
pick
player
the teams
should,
or something?
No, draft. They have a draft.
Oh, they have a WNBA draft.
Yeah, I have
draft.
A WNBA draft party, and I'll tell you who should fit on the Aces and the Dallas Wings and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There's a team called the Dallas
Cynthia
Wings.
Cooper,
yes.
All the way.
She doesn't play anymore. Get with it.
All right. What did you want to talk about?
Hey, guys,
Brad?
Real quick. I wanted to call, this Astros fight we did with the Angels and everything, and everyone's talking about, the pitchers, the one, or Albert Pujols is who, but no one's talking about who I think is the biggest in this whole thing, and that's Brad Ausmus. Brad Ausmus was the one that basically said, and my daughter agrees, she does not like Brad Ausmus, you can hear, but he's the one that orchestrated everything, and no one's talking about Brad Ausmus. I wanted to hear y'all's thoughts on that.
He got a game suspension. I mean, I think the league recognized his role in it. I think I don't know. Did he advocate him throwing up around Jake's head? I don't know. Should Jake have been hit by them? Probably. I mean, even if it was unintentional. If the fan base there is booing him every time he steps, every step he takes, he's getting booed and he's hated. And their guy went down. Their guy had to go back for surgery. Their guy broke his nose. Their guy got concussed. And so you got to back your guy. And Brad Ausmus was backing his guy. If he advocated headhunting, though, yeah, I agree. then listen.
Some of this goes out to what he said previously where he was looking for the suspension for anytime there's a dust-up between two teams and a manager chirps up, fans get mad at that manager.
Yeah.
I know there's a thought that this is a former Astro. That doesn't matter. He's got his own team now. This team pays him. He's got players that are also paid.
And Jake Mrazek wasn't part of that team.
It doesn't. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't because he's an Astro is meaningless. That has nothing to do with anything. But he was backing his own team, and that's fine. But he came out and said that. I mean, I wouldn't expect Astros fans to be happy with him because he came out calling for the. You know, he wasn't happy with Jake Mrazek the first time around. He never even made a comment, even remotely. Admitting that could have been an accident where he was where Mrazek was trying to Eurostep and avoid the contact. I mean, for him, it was an intentional thing, and he needed to be suspended. He got a suspension.
And again, intentional, not intentional, whatever. He knocked dude out, and he broke his nose, and he got concussed, and he's had to have a surgery, intentional or not. The intent be damned. What happened was he took Jonathan Lucroy out and the team is pissed about it. Okay. I get it all. And you know, Jake got hit. He shouldn't have got hit up there, but he got hit. And Brad Ausmus definitely played a role in it. And Major League Baseball realizes it. Ramirez though deserved the three games. There's no question about that.
But Ausmus served his. Jake immediately fought it.
Yeah.
Jake immediately fought.
Well, because Jake is going by intent again. Hey, I didn't mean to do it. That's okay.
Well, then
it doesn't matter if you meant to do it or not.
Somebody told him that was the move, though. Somebody in baseball told him that he should fight.
Well, if you feel like I'm right, I didn't mean to do it, and I shouldn't get suspended for it, then you're going to fight it. He's not going to win his appeal. He will not win that appeal. Intent be damned. That's not the rule is not about intent.
From 2-1?
Nope. The rule is not about intent.
But this is an injunction. That's all this is. This is an injunction that allows them to play.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why if you're wondering, I would have just taken my two games and moved on. That's what I would have done.
Yeah, I would have too. And said, yep, it sucks.
But you know what?
And by the way, I would have done it in Los Angeles where I won't get, right. You know, they won't headhunt me.
Yeah, but then that's true. But then you would have had them. That would have just, is that also against baseball's unwritten rules?
I don't know.
That you're not allowed to take a suspension when you're facing a team that could get retribution? My guess is that's considered chicken bleep. Mm-hmm. And that's like, you guys are cowards. That would have led to a yelling, screaming match. How about this? Bomani Jones brought this point up yesterday, which I thought was kind of an interesting point. For how long? So this is an unwritten rule. This is an unwritten rule that you're not supposed to go up. Really, I don't know of a time where you're supposed to headhunt in baseball. That's kind of a known deal. You could do serious damage with that. But this was not. Was that an unwritten rule that you weren't supposed to truck a catcher at home plate in years past?
No.
Before that was Bomani's point. And Bomani said, until this happened with, and I think he said it, until this happened with Buster Posey, this was not as big a deal. So now this is, because it's just a new rule, it's kind of a new unwritten rule of baseball. It's a new written rule of baseball and unwritten after the Buster Posey thing. Now there's a separate set of guidelines that this has now been included into the list of things you get hit for and that is a good point, though.
Well, it's always been if you come spikes up at second base,
right?
You know, there's a chance we're going. We're gonna go. It's go time.
And LaCroix was blocking the plate. He was out in front of the plate. You can argue what portion of the plate, but he was not. I mean,
he wasn't blocking
out there,
the plate.
He was out there in front of the plate.
Yeah,
between third base.
He was
and
inside
home plate.
The baseline.
But that's irrelevant because at any point he could shift in either direction. He is inside. He is between home plate and third base. Right?
No. He was not.
Where was he? Where
he
did
was
you see
in
him?
Between home plate and first base. He was inside the baseline.
Between home...
Yeah, Jake had the whole outside, dude. He had all of that room out there.
No. No, what I'm saying, though, is his body, if you drew a parallel lines between from third base all the way to the outfield and home plate all the way to the outfield, he was inside
there.
The plate
was open up for Jake. The plate was wide open.
You're saying if he took an outside portion.
Now, even no, he could have run straight. He could have run straight down the baseline. You'll go look. He's not touching the baseline. Touching the baseline, the plate comes out. The bottom of the plate comes out, and that's where the baseline is.
I know. I think he was anticipating where the line an inside
is,
slide.
Where the third baseline is. He was inside that.
But you said there is no intent. It doesn't matter. I don't think he had any intent.
No, he
you
didn't
said
have any intent. Matter. He didn't.
Okay,
he
so
thought
went
he
inside.
Was going to go outside, and he guessed wrong.
Yeah, that's all it was.
Right.
That's
no,
all
that's
it was.
Absolutely true.
So if that's the case, that really doesn't matter in Major League Baseball either because frankly, it was because the amount of damage that was done is why he ended up getting hit.
Yes. Well, yes. And the severity of the collision, absolutely.
Yes.
And just the fact that you can't take the catcher out anymore. You can't do that anymore.
Well, it's the same reason. Yeah, yes. And I think there should be an acknowledgement around professional sports. You police your own sport, but at the same time, there is a belief that, hey, guys, this is all our livings. We have to be very careful right. about what we do, should not take away the ability to make to do this job, to do this work, to have this career. That is something that's in most
sports. And
that's
the same with the beating him around his head.
Yeah.
That's the same. And the Astros could have retaliated last night. They could have retaliated.
And they
would have
got suspensions.
And they didn't.
They would have got suspensions. Whoever had retaliated would have gotten a suspension for sure.
See, here's where they collided. He is clearly inside the third base line.
But he's between this is what I said. He's between home plate and third base.
Well, yeah, but inside. Look at all of this. Look at all this.
Yeah, but at any
home
point,
plate was wide open.
But LaCroix could at any point shift to the left, too.
Well, absolutely.
Yeah, I mean,
but
Jake
thought he was going to. That's why he went that way.
Right.
All right, 8:31.
Had the throw been on the money, he could have been sitting right there in front of home plate, blocking the play.
Well, he actually came out. He was right before he was inside. Actually, he was partially blocking the plate, and then he came in, and that's when the collision happened.
Right.
Bam. Bam. Dude, you can't do that, though. 8:31, ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776.
Make sure that you go to your phone and immediately text money to 232323. What that's going to do is it's going to begin a very, very short text string where you get a message back that says, what is your address? It's automated text, so you don't have to worry about someone saying, sup, or are you up, or any of that, you know, like, what are you wearing? None of that stuff. They're just going to say, bing, what's your address? And you're going to text in your address, you're going to hit send, and within just a few seconds, you're going to get a firm homeowner's insurance quote based on the standard coverages that are expected from homeowners. Now, when you go through that, you can take a look at what you have from a coverage standpoint and what they're offering. In most cases, it's going to be the same. There are going to be instances, though, where you see such a dramatic change in price, where you save so much that you may want to take that opportunity to add flood coverage if you don't already have that, or add additional coverage to the dwelling of your home if that property has really substantially gone up in value. Make sure that the experts over at TGS Insurance are working with you to get you the best rates, because they've got a group of insurance companies that they have aggregated, and they will find you the very, very best rate with A-rated insurance companies. Why pay more when you have a chance to get the same coverage for much, much less? The average savings is $870 plus. Why would you not want to keep that money in your pocket instead of giving it to another insurance agency? Make sure that you text money. Get shop around. Find out where the best rates are. Text money to 232323. For more information about the company, go to tgsinsurance.com.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Cheers, live from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I'm sorry. It's 8:37 ESPN 97.5. Radu Bandar joins us right now on ESPN 97.5.
Oh, hello.
Former intern, and now you're a headliner at the Improv.
I know, you go so far.
Well, if you intern here, guess what? You're going to be a headliner someday.
We do have, yeah.
Yeah, it's actually the only fast track to headline.
It is.
Is interning here first.
It helps.
You know how I got to headline the Improv?
Juby, yeah, look at Juby's already out in the world. She interned like one day.
By out in the world, you mean just at home doing nothing because she didn't want to do this anymore?
Boom. No, I think she's babysitting or something. She's got she had to make money. And so now, and look at Radu making money. Okay. Big money.
The biggest. You know how you get big money headlining as just a local guy? The same way when a team like misses out on free agency and they're like, we got to get somebody. We got to get Bobby Portis.
Right.
That's what happened to me, baby.
Right. That's
I just held out.
So
they settled, in other words?
I just waited for the summer to cool off. I was like, you got to get somebody, baby.
He helped them reach the salary floor. Yeah. Like they had to spend a certain amount of money.
That old, you got to pay somebody.
Yeah.
The salary floor. That's what I want to be. I want to be the guy where we accidentally have too much money left. I'll be the salary floor guy.
Yeah.
Can I do the salary floor?
You know, NBA teams are so trash because if you don't reach the salary floor, you have to pay it out to the players currently on the roster.
Like, no one ever does that.
And no one does it.
No one does it.
They'd rather pay a guy as opposed to, you know, paying the players you actually like a little bit extra.
Let's give Scary Terry all the money.
We're not doing that. We're not doing that.
Well, because then those numbers become used against him. Like, you paid him that amount of money.
Right. What? So how do you go from intern to headlining?
Well, I started interning here because I knew another comedian, Mr. Barry Laminack, friend of the show.
Uh-huh.
And I've been doing comedy for about 5 or 6 years, and the improv is just like a near and dear place to my heart. They gave me a bunch of breaks, and it's been a long time in the works. I've actually said no to headlining before because I was like, it's a cool thing. It's a nice, you know, whatever, but I want to deliver a real product, and I didn't feel ready, and now I'm like... at least somewhat confident, you know. I feel like it's going to be just so awesome. We got just a fantastic show in the works.
Is this your first headline show?
It's not my first headlining show. I've actually headlined a club that no longer exists here before.
You shut it down with your headline?
I want to take credit for it. I was like a month before. I'm like how Ken Hoffman was with The Post. You can't.
Right, yeah. You can't really blame him. But
if you want to, it's there.
You could still use it against him.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Great.
John's good at that, finding things. Adele, too. They're kind of kindred spirits at finding things and then using it against you in a sideways way.
Yeah. With great efficiency.
That's why he just said, did you shut that down? That's his...
Right. Yeah. Dell's been fired here before.
In my mouth, but I was doing it wrong.
I do mine.
Dell's been fired here.
I have been fired here before. I mean, it seems...
You want to relive
that? Like a random thing to throw in there at this point, but yeah.
That's what he does. This is the point. He's on brand.
I probably... If they were paying me when I was first here, I probably would have been fired because me and Dell had the audacity... I had the audacity to make fun of the intern that wasn't here, and I realized I was never on time for this show even once. I don't think I made it... Maybe 30 minutes late was my closest. I was
and
like, Dell I'm on time,
keeps
baby.
Track of
oh,
the
yeah.
intern.
I mean, I don't write things down, but I remember.
Oh, you remember.
I remember because it means I have to do extra work. I'm not a fan.
And he'll throw a fastball high around your head, too, by the way.
He keeps it all up here like a bookie.
Yeah. So what's the show about?
The show's about stand-up. It's just it's just going to be a classic stand-up show. I do a lot of material about being an immigrant. I love just all of what that is because you can't really tell. You know what I mean? I come across as American probably because I'm an elitist. But I also, you know, I have this weird experience. I was born in a different country.
Is there any chance ICE comes in and raids this show and they kick you out before?
So we're trying to have ICE in the house. I've reached out to them and their social media team is a little weird. But I would like
not
to
not very responsive.
I mean, here's the thing. They're either not very responsive or like weirdly super responsive. Like you're starting to type out the tweet and they're all like, we got you, boy.
We already know what you're sending.
Yeah, we got your passport number. But yeah, hopefully ICE is in the house. Hopefully we can get a couple Democratic.
Hopefully ICE is in the house.
Like that Ice Bay, that girl. No, she's
Ice Bay.
She's okay. Yeah, she's her? Ice Bay. No.
She became famous because she was in one of the I would like to call them promo pics of Pence at the detention center as he's staring blankly at, you know, these people being detained. She's one of the officers there, and then she became popular because, look, there's an attractive woman in a uniform.
She's ICE attractive.
Okay. Well,
right?
I mean, I wouldn't...
ICE attractive is right.
I wouldn't make... What is she? She's an ICE 9
and
a Houston
probably.
6?
Right.
She's fine for ICE.
Right.
But.
Now, if she was standing next to, you know...
Who?
Instagram models.
Well, yeah.
Wouldn't she be like, she's all right. But next to Pence... She looked like a 10, right?
Well, yeah, he's a middle-aged old white guy. Of course he does. Of course he looks like a 10,
right?
What government agency also? Who else do you think has like some pretty fine workers?
Oh,
I would think.
Well, not the post office. I don't think.
I'm not
pretty
post
sure.
Office.
I haven't seen
government agencies with fine
that Department
workers.
Of Labor,
not
baby.
The DMV.
Oh, definitely. No. They have a chart. You got to be like a 7. It's like a reverse Hooters in there. Like, if you're attractive, sorry, man. You got to do something else.
You got to go backwards.
No, we don't need
people trying to hang around here for unnecessary reasons.
The whole thing is, if this is pleasant in any way, we're not doing our job.
We're not going to have any eye candy. No.
I try to explain to people sometimes, because I'm from a country that used to be communist, and people ask me what communism is like. I didn't live in it, but I got a lot of, you know, reports from people. And it's, imagine if like every entity that you mess with is the DMV. Like, they don't care about customer service. It takes 9 hours and you don't
everything
feel good.
Everything is like that.
Is a DMV.
So I was in Cuba and that's what it felt like. Yeah. Being in Cuba, I was like, look at that gigantic line for soap. That doesn't look good. But when we got in, when we landed in Cuba, we got mean mugged. It's almost like they want to set the tone where waiting in line to go through, you know, get your passport stamped or looked at or whatever. That wasn't fun with that lady. It wasn't fun when you go through and you have to scan your bags as you go into the country. Yes. They just have notes. They're so disgusted you're even there.
Yeah.
Everyone is so disgusted. And now once you're done with that, it's like, oh, this isn't that bad. But then when you need things that are considered, when you need to
utilities and stuff.
Yeah. We heard stories about how, this sounds terrible. Oh, maybe this is why there's no air conditioning anywhere in Cuba.
People are always trying to convince me, like, you got to go to Cuba before communism falls. You want to see it while it's, you know, before capitalism gets in there and ruins it. Mm. And you're like, what kind of logic is that? What? Like, you want to see these people in their naturally depraved and oppressed environment. You don't want to see them when they have choices.
No, when they can have fun and when they have food. When there's mobility. Food there.
Well, look, it's good not to see, you know, people become, you know, trying to be like the Cubans aren't exactly Instagram influencers.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of that, but you do see at our bed and breakfast where we stayed at, we did have a Russian girl who was like, the picture she was taking while breakfast was being served, and she had her own little teacup dog with her. I was just thinking, she's taking all these pictures. She must have taken 50 pictures in a row of the same thing. And I just thought, oh my God.
It's a weird way to promote a country by saying, you should go there before there's a light of optimism in the people's eyes.
Yes. Yes. When there's still darkness in everyone's eyes.
Hope.
When there's this film of darkness.
It's a weird way to promote something.
This is your picture at night. Did all comedians have to do this with the finger and you're just kind of head tilted to the side?
No comedians know how to do a headshot. Right?
Nope.
There's like three comedians that are actually attractive. They like look right into the camera and they're like, just take my picture. You know you want this. All the rest of us are like, should I be funny in the photo?
You're right.
Should I look weird?
Pensive?
Maybe I look like I have a dump coming, but I'm kind of happy about it. And you're like, I don't know. I just got to take... Like, that picture was taken at a bar just by my wife on a phone.
Oh, really? That's what that is?
Yeah.
So how long is your set?
I'm going to do probably 30 to 45 minutes.
Really?
That's pretty good.
That's good. Yeah.
That's a pretty long set.
I'm either going to do 45 minutes of my own stuff or 30 minutes of my stuff, and then I have my friend Grady Pruitt. We come on and do like a two-person comedy thing.
We're going to see it today?
Time. Yeah, just tonight. two guys with mics doing weird stuff.
8 p.m. tonight, 713-333-8800, A Night at the Improv with Radu Bhandar.
If you come out, I promise you'll get iced. I promise you.
Listen.
If you're looking for an experience, yeah.
Yeah. If there's a chance that you could be deported, don't go.
Yeah.
Right? Because ICE will be there.
But also, if you get deported, like, wouldn't that be...
I don't feel like that.
Have you guys ever
seen
those, like, comedian gets heckled videos? Like, wouldn't comedian gets deported just blow up the internet? Destroy it?
That would actually go viral. But this is something that makes me too nervous. It just... About the comedy stuff, just the hecklers, like, that's the one thing... You know, watching Larry David shows, watching Ricky Gervais shows, you know, it's Steve Carell did it really well. The uncomfortable, like, the cringe. Whenever I'm watching, I won't go down the comedian gets heckled rabbit hole for very long because it just makes me too
painful.
It is painful. And just as painful, I heard Barry, he had somebody at his show, a woman in the front row, that was trying to add to it. Not heckling, add to the show.
That's the worst.
That's even worse than heckling, isn't it?
Especially if they're just kind of quiet. So only a few people around them can hear them. But then if it's like a big, you know, room or something, no one in the back can hear that someone's being annoying. So you just look like a psychopath. You're just tearing into this lady in the front.
Right.
And you're like, what, you had two drinks? I'll kill you. And people are like, whoa, what is wrong with this guy?
Right. Right.
Look at Concept Mayhem says, Radu seems good. Finally, a comedian on your airwaves who is actually funny.
What? I love it. Is
What's
that a blitz
shot he's taken? No, he's been with us forever.
But tomorrow.
Oh, is he? Wait a minute. Is this a shot at? This isn't a shot at Barry. I think this is a shot at. I didn't know if he was trying to take a shot at Barry. I think he's.
It might be Barry. Might
it
be Barry.
Could be, but I think he's taking a shot at.
I just when I like, see the blitz Twitter, it's the meanest Twitter I've ever seen in my life. It's like the.
Is it?
Yeah, and I look at having you know I listen
There's
to everyone's
snitch Twitter also though, right?
There is. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Dell, their snitch Twitter too.
Right, and tomorrow you're bringing somebody in, right? Or
tomorrow, yeah, you guys are going to have Erica Rhodes, the fantastic Erica Rhodes, who's been on Modern Family and Veep, and she's been on Prairie Home Companion since she was 10 years old.
Really?
She's been doing stuff with Garrison Keillor forever, and is just one of the most like talented people in show business right now.
Yeah,
we're lucky to have her. Good. Friday, Saturday.
That's going
to
be tomorrow, right here. Yeah. But tonight, A Night at the Improv with Radu Bondar, 713-333-8800 or Improv Houston. Is it improv.com/Houston?
Yeah.
Yeah. Improv.com/Houston.
Just Google it.
That's it. Well, we appreciate it, Radu. Go hey, kill him tonight.
It's an honor to be here.
Yeah. Destroy him.
Really? Thanks for having me.
It is? I feel like
it is.
I feel like that's an
trust
over,
me, it is.
Yeah, it's
over
an
evaluation.
Honor. It's an honor for Radu.
It is.
Listen, it is. I've listened to hundreds of hours of this show, literally.
It is.
I listened to more, and it's not that special.
Yeah, but you got paid for it.
That's right.
I had to get paid. I wouldn't
You're
do it
just
voluntarily.
Desensitized to the greatness.
Would you listen to this show if you weren't getting paid for it?
Absolutely.
What time does the show start again? No.
No.
I'm not kidding. I wouldn't get up for this show.
Yeah, just to listen to the show.
No chance.
Would you ever get up just to listen?
No, there's not a shot in hell.
Yeah, I wouldn't either.
When I wasn't working here and you were doing a show, I didn't get up to listen at all.
Right. I wouldn't either, and I'm in it.
But
I
you can stream it.
Yep, you can. You can listen
when
to it.
When people
on
like,
demand, Del,
on demand.
The most incomprehensible thing for me is when people tweet me, "Hey, dog, wouldn't listen back to the podcast." Like, you did what?
Right?
What?
Why
did you do? Why did you
why?
Do that?
Do you guys know? You guys actually have the highest numbers of podcasts of any of the shows. It's like
you would know.
Crazy numbers.
You would know because you do the podcast.
I used to. Yeah. That's my favorite part. But everyone still thinks I'm an intern here. I never correct it.
You were answering the phones today.
Only because I was here super early. But
I say ex intern. I know the deal.
I don't correct
he's,
it.
He's no longer
because I'm so incompetent and lazy that if people think I'm not getting paid, they're not going to do anything about it. You know what I mean?
Right. No.
I realize I'm stealing.
You shouldn't
a
be getting paid, Radu. It's perfect for you. All right.
Good luck tonight.
Good luck tonight, man. Improv.com/Houston. 713-333-8800. Go see Radu Bondar tonight. Former intern making it big in the big world. Right now, gimmethevin.com. You know who else is making it big in the big world? Oh, my God. Is he ever? John Clay Wolf killing it. And he just, the other day, he had said that, you know, I've already gotten, it was what, the 14th of the month or whatever it was. And he said, yeah, I've already bought over 1,000 cars this month. It's unbelievable what this dude is doing. Because when you're going to give the most money for the car, then people are going, they're going to like that. And they're going to buy it. That's a great product. He knows he is going to give you the most money. And if he can't beat CarMax, if he doesn't beat CarMax and their offer, then he is going to send you $100. That's a guarantee. That's a guarantee. So it doesn't make any sense for you to just go to CarMax or your dealer or wherever and not be armed with what John Clay Wolf will pay you. And then you're going to find when you go to that dealer, especially the dealership, because this is where they make their money. When you go to that dealership, they're going to say, oh, well, this is what we'll give you. Guess what? I'm selling it to John Clay Wolf. GiveMeTheVIN.com. The best place to sell your car? GiveMeTheVIN.com.